Danny and Dusty.
My Uncle Gus is the uncle that liked to work the grill. As soon as he walk in the house, it's like, get away from that grill. You don't know how to start no fire.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
We're going to eat a hamburger, okay? Here we go. Chandler, throw the match. Now that's a fire.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm not cooking a brontosaurus burger.
The Fan.
Hour number three here on Danny and Dusty on a Thursday afternoon. Thank you for joining us. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AMTheFan or Twitch.com/1080AMTheFan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this glorious Thursday afternoon. Heading into week two of the NFL action, which means it's time for us to make our picks.
Woo!
Wah, 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 wah. Quite the week for the crew. Only a collective two losses.
Yep.
Yep. All told, 4-0, 3-1, 3-1 across the whole week. It's a good week.
It was a good week.
That's how we like to start out our picks. Last week, I went Bears 3.5 of the Titans, Texans -3 of the Colts, Jags +3.5 of the Dolphins, Vikings -1.5 versus the Giants. I still don't understand how that line was only 1.5 points. That felt like free money. Dusty, you took Chargers Packers +2 versus the Eagles, Vikings -1.5. Lions -3.5 and the under in Bengals Pats, and boy, was that a guarantee.
Easy money.
Rust, you took the
stupid Packers, the only loss.
Yeah, and that one was close. I think you missed that by a point, right?
No. Missed it by...
Oh, that's right, yeah. They scored again.
2 points.
Yeah. Rust, you took Chiefs -3, got the outright win. Falcons -3.5 against the Steelers. Chargers -3 against the Raiders. Jerk. Jaguars +3.5 at the Dolphins. Not too shabby. I guess I won last week, so I'll go first. There's a line already here that I don't understand until you brought it to me what the change was. Colts -3 at the Packers. Malik Willis, who was just traded to the Packers less than 3 weeks ago, is starting for the injured Jordan Love. That defense did not look very good. The Colts looked pretty good. If Anthony Richardson can string together some stuff, which, did you see that throw that he had over the middle?
He has those throws, man, that
Holy.
Just go, whoa.
The consistency, that's what you're looking for.
But he also has throws where you go, oh.
Yes. If the consistency is there, and that Green Bay defense did not look spectacular. Now, they did force some turnovers, but also I think that had more to do with Jalen Hurts being terrible. But I'm going to go with the Colts -3 because the Packers don't have any hope of offense.
Yeah, I was just looking this up on quarterback adjustments based on your starter to your replacement.
And it was a big one.
And Vegas thinks that the talent disparity here is a 9.5-point line. With Jordan Love out, he takes away 6.5 points.
So that's where you get your difference.
That's where you are at 3 here. So... I mean, that's a big move there.
We saw Malik Willis play last year. I don't think you're going to get anything out of it.
Yeah, that's a good point. But how high are they on Anthony Richardson? They think that if Anthony Richardson was out and Joe Flacco was in, there would only be 1 point difference. So between those two quarterbacks. But yeah, that one is a bit of a head scratcher there. My first game that I'm going with, I'm going the Chargers -6 at Carolina. I will not believe Carolina is good at football. That's the end of the sentence right there.
I think that's all we need.
I know what you're going with. I'm picking up.
They will not be good at football this year. So I'm going to go with the Chargers traveling, going on the road. Don't care if you're going East Coast to West Coast. Give me the Chargers -6.
I'm starting out with the old Thursday night football tonight. Miami's 2.5-point favorites. As you may have heard in my updates, Josh Allen 6-0 in his career on Thursdays. 5 of those have been on the road. He averages basically 265 yards a game on Thursdays. What do we got here? 14 tutties against 6 picks. Miami, though, they are thin at running back. 2-1-1 on Thursdays. So give me the Bills. +2.5 at Miami. Ooh, at Miami, that'd be a road dog.
Look at Rusty digging in here.
Road dogs early.
We saw the Patriots beat the Bengals. I don't know if much of it was the Patriots winning or the Bengals losing, but they still didn't look good. The Seahawks on the flip side of that, did look pretty good in their opening win, and they made Bo Nix and the Broncos look pedestrian. They're going up against a worse offense likely this week, and they're favored by 3.5. They are a road favorite, but give me the Seahawks and the points.
Yeah, New England didn't look bad, but I have the Seahawks minus 3.5 as well, just because the defense of Cincinnati looked out of sorts. And if you cannot run the football effectively, you will not have an offense for New England. They ran the football effectively against the Cincinnati Bengals. So I don't think that we're going to see another 120-yard performance against this Seahawks defense.
No.
This game is going to be ground to a halt on the ground for New England, and I think that gives Seattle a comfortable win in Foxborough.
I'm going to Carolina as well.
And if I lose that game, I'm totally fine with it.
Yeah, I'm going to Carolina as well because they are, where did it go?
They're doo-doo.
Yeah, that's right, Anthony Newman.
Exactly. And the Chargers, look, Justin Herbert didn't look great in week one. This will be a good, nice little rebound week for him and the old ball coach, Jim Harbaugh. Yeah, so give me the Chargers minus six.
You know what was... I sent this to you guys because I saw it and I was just like, whoa. The Panthers posted a 9/11 tribute on their Instagram.
Oh my god.
Oh boy, the comment section.
I sent it to three different social media directors that I know in sports. And
they
hate
their team.
Well, I asked every one of them, would you have left these comments on? Every one of them was some form of profanity. And no, are you crazy?
Hell to the no.
It was
carnage in the streets, man.
I mean, you just jaw-dropping the comments from Panthers fans.
Yeah.
Jeff Rust and Mr. Dusty Hera, just so you guys know, the Chargers line is 5.5. Would you like to take it at 5.5?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Right. Go ahead and update them, because I am currently updating my particular spreadsheet.
I mean, that means it has been bet down.
Which is weird.
During the show. A lot of people on it.
Man.
A lot of people on that action.
My third game. This,
what are these people looking at?
I have no idea. I literally just went, I'll take that line.
Yeah. Sweet, fancy Moses.
You just took it under two field goals for me?
All right.
Yeah, I'll go ahead. I'll gladly take
that.
Did
they watch the same team play?
I have no idea. In what will be my running joke of the year, I am going to take every time I can find under a touchdown on the Panthers and anything under six against the Giants. The Commanders are 2-point favorites against the Giants. They were the Vikings came in as 1.5-point favorites against the Giants. I don't know how this is only a 2-point game.
Yeah.
Look, I understand rookie quarterback. Jaden Daniels looked good. Threw for a .180, ran for almost 90 yards and two touchdowns. He looked every bit in control of an offense as much as I've seen of a rookie in a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's nothing about that Giants team that looks remotely functional other than that front four, and that's just not enough.
Yeah, in this game, I'm taking the under on 43 because even if the Commanders score 42 points in this game, I don't think the over's hitting. Look, I think some of the apprehension may be that you saw 37 points put up on the board by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but Baker Mayfield ain't run through that door. Mike Evans isn't run through that door. And also, I do like the New York Giants' defensive line and pass rush to muddy this thing up and make life hard on Jaden Daniels. But I don't see a lot of points on the board, and at 43, I'm going to take the under on this game.
I'm going to go ahead to the desert. Glendale, where the Cardinals are 1.5-point favorites over the Rams. Look, I know the Rams didn't look very good, but I still can't trust Kyler Murray as far as I can throw him, which isn't very far. Until they show me something, the thing with the Cardinals is always going to be...
They're doo-doo also.
Yeah. So I'm going to take another road dog, Rams plus 1.5.
Yeah, and the Rams look good. Again, they don't have Puka Nacua.
Offensive
line
banged up.
They lost to the Lions. There's no shame in losing to the Lions in week one.
O-line got banged up. Nacua got banged up.
Yep. Stafford was incredible, particularly in man coverage, which the Lions run almost exclusively with Aaron Glenn. But you give him those opportunities, like he's still got it.
Yeah.
He still got the
goods.
That's
a tricky line. I was in stay away form on that one.
That's
that
fair.
Scared me.
No, again, there's some lines this week where I went, not touching that. Another one that I'm going to take is 49ers minus -5 at the Vikings. I went scummy. I went favorites on all four, and I don't like it. I don't like it at all. But that 49ers team looked really good, and that Vikings team, as good as they looked, they were playing the Giants. I don't know what you can take out of that. This feels like a game that the 49ers should win comfortably.
Yeah, you mean the Jets. They played the Jets, which also not functional on the defensive side of the football. They were very, 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 very bad. So, yeah, you're going 5.5 on the road, huh?
I got a 5.
Sam Darnold, baby. Sam
has it changed?
Darnold. Well, I just looked on. ESPN has it at 5.5. DraftKings. We go off DraftKings
here.
We go off DraftKings here, and that may have changed.
Single.
It's at 5. Perfect. Well, I wish it was 5.5. on my final game, did the Jags look good?
Certainly not.
But neither did the Browns.
Hey, they had a first half lead.
So I'm going to go, the second half.
Yeah.
Got away from them there.
Well, Tyreek Hill. Their name in the stadium after Trevor Lawrence today.
Tyreek Hill went for 80, and Jacksonville said, yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
We're good after this. I'm going to go Jags minus -3 at home playing the Cleveland Browns. Zero faith in Deshaun Watson and those Cleveland Browns. And, look, I'm just going to go with the spite bet. Don't like Deshaun Watson. So, guess what? Go Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, he sucked last week, and he's continued to suck. And Myles Garrett has been put on a little injury report. They're now saying that it's nothing serious, but he did not practice today.
Did not practice.
And neither did Smith. So their pass-rushing duo both dinged up right
out
of the gate.
You want to know how good Vegas thinks Deshaun Watson is?
Oh, God. Please tell me what the backup switch is.
If they were to put Jameis Winston in at quarterback...
Plus 3.5.
It would be a half of a point...
No.
...that the Cleveland Browns lose. So this line, if Jameis Winston were to play, would go from Jags minus -3 to Jags minus -3.5.
I think I'd rather take Jameis.
All you need to know.
There was a national NFL show I was listening to the other day, and they said if Deshaun Watson looks like he did in the first half of this game, do they make the switch this week? And he said, coin toss. And I was like, it's already there. And then you toss in his legal situation.
Yep.
And the fact that, what was his father and best friend
his
died?
His dad and a high school teammate died.
He's a terrible person. Terrible things are happening to him, and he sucks.
Yeah. Can you name... Russ, get your last pick.
Your
pick. Was that your last pick?
I'm going Jacksonville minus -3 as well because Cleveland spite pick, and they also are renaming the stadium Trevor Bank Stadium.
Bam.
Because he is part of they're one of his sponsors, and he's part of the naming rights deal.
Yeah, Everbank.
I want you guys to think about this when we come back. Mm. There are three quarterbacks in the National Football League that Las Vegas, Nevada thinks their team would get better if they did not play.
Ooh, that's a nice little tease.
Yeah. Yeah, I want you to think about that.
We'll hit that when we come back here on Danny and Dusty, Tenet Fan. Before we went to break there, you teased a little something as far as how the Vegas betting lines are shaping up for the quarterback position. And what would happen if a quarterback were to cede to their backup?
Yeah, there are currently three quarterbacks in the NFL that if their backup came in, their team would actually get better odds in Vegas. Can you name those three quarterbacks? Bum, bum, bum.
Bryce Young's backup.
That is correct.
That one's a given because he's... Look, I don't like bagging on the kid because it feels bad, but he might be the biggest bust in NFL history. Legitimately. He might be worse than Jamarcus.
Yeah.
There's nothing redemptive about him.
It's not good. It's not good. Yeah, if Andy Dalton were to go in for the Carolina Panthers, Vegas would give the Panthers a 1.5-point bump.
When was the last time Andy Dalton appeared in a game?
Oh, last year,
right? Did he come in?
Yeah. So Andy Dalton is one of them coming in for Bryce Young. If Bryce Young was benched, Panthers would get a point and a half. Can you name the other two?
Who's Richardson's backup?
Anthony Richardson in Indianapolis. It is Joe Flacco.
That one's close, but it's not going to be there. Oh, who are the top backups right now? I thought maybe Minshew in Las Vegas, but I don't think AOC is bumping that up.
There would be no line movement if Aiden O'Connell went in.
They're saying that one's even, which is basically the same damn thing.
How about the Giants?
Yeah, it says DeVito is the next one.
Get old Tommy Cutlets in there? Yeah.
It is not Tommy Cutlets.
Huh.
But it is Drew Locke, and the Giants would be one point better with Drew Locke over Daniel Jones.
Oh, God.
He is number two.
That's a sad state of affairs. The third one, Taysom's the backup in New Orleans. God, who's the third?
The Pats?
Nope.
No, not a rookie.
If Drake May came in, the Patriots would lose a half of a point.
Are they saying Caleb? Are they saying the Bears?
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm. Nope.
The Stillers.
Nope. That is another zero line movement if Russell Wilson comes in over Justin Fields.
They're doo-doo also.
Yes. Yep. They're calling that a no countsies.
God, I don't know.
It is Mason Rudolph replacing Will Levis in Tennessee. A half point difference.
I would have gotten
in favor of
the
Titans if Will Levis gets benched for Mason Rudolph.
Boy, you are garbage if Mason Rudolph's going to give you a bump.
I probably would have gotten that if I had known who the backup was, but then again, knowing who the backup was would have probably caused me to pause.
Yeah. There,
sometimes that just don't matter.
Zero line movement for the Steelers, Raiders, and Denver Broncos. If Bo Nix went to the bench in favor of Jarrett Stidham, no line movement would be affected. Half point is New England with Drake May over Brissett, and Cleveland with Jameis over Deshaun. 1 point swings negatively would be Indianapolis with Anthony Richardson for Joe Flacco, and Minnesota, Sam Darnold for Nick Mullins. Caleb Williams accounts for 2.5 points over Tyson Bagent. Jaden Daniels is 1.5 points over Jeff Driscoll. Thought that might be a little bit different, but apparently not. 2.5 point swing for Geno Smith and Sam Howell in favor of Geno over Howell. Here's an interesting one. If Aaron Rodgers got benched for Tyrod Taylor, how many points do you think the Jets would lose on the betting line?
8.5.
No. No. Not even close.
Really?
Yeah.
3.5?
3.5 points.
Wow.
It would be 3.5 points if Tyrod Taylor replaced Aaron Rodgers. Atlanta, and with Kirk Cousins and how bad he looked, for Michael Penix Jr.'s 4.5.
I don't know. We can talk about this probably in our football news and notes segment here to wrap up the show at 45. The Falcons, or somebody from practice, the Falcons practice, just released video of him going through play action.
Brutal.
And it looks like a peg leg.
Yeah. His right leg does not move.
He can't plant. He can't do anything with it. I don't know how he's playing football.
Nope. The biggest shifts, if a quarterback would go to a bench, Patrick Mahomes for Carson Wentz is 7.5 points on the line.
Mm.
And Lamar Jackson,
who is the backup there?
Josh Johnson is.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Buffalo, 7 for Allen and Trubisky. Those are the big ones.
Is it just mean to... Trubisky looks like he's somehow related to Josh Allen. Like when you see him, he looks like...
I think he looks like Drake May, which does not make me feel better.
You know what? That's who I'm thinking of. It's not Josh Allen. Thank you.
I think he looks like... I think Mitch Trubisky and Drake May kind of look alike, which is also like if you did like the caveman thing, the evolution.
Yes.
It's like Drew Bledsoe, Mitch Trubisky, Drake May, Tom Brady, and somebody's in between Brady and May.
Sure.
But it looks like if you smashed those two, Brady and Bledsoe together, you get like this weird Drake May, Mitch Trubisky thing.
Yeah, like looks-wise, yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
It's like almost like they do like a facial profile for their quarterbacks. Like they have their scouting, but like they want cheekbones.
Yeah.
They love those.
They love cheekbones.
Robert Kraft loves some high cheekbones.
He really does.
That's what's keeping him out of the Hall of Fame.
Probably.
Coming up next, we do have Thursday Night Football. We haven't gotten to that game yet, so let's dive into Bills Dolphins. Coming up next, we hear is the Big Kahuna with Sports Center Update.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
Turns out, even if you put the cuffs on Tyreek Hill, he's tough to stop. Now it's going to be up to the Buffalo Bills to slow him down tonight. This is going to be a really interesting contrast in styles. Josh Allen does not have weapons, like, at all this year. That didn't stop him in week one in maybe being the best player on the field in the NFL.
He took that game over, and he did it with his arms and his legs. He was incredible in that win over the Arizona Cardinals. They needed every single inch that he gained. And, like, I know they won by a touchdown, whatever. But it is something looked off, and they are working through some stuff right now. But so is Miami. When you look at Miami, Raheem Mostert out with a chest injury. You have A-Chain, who is apparently going to go. He went through his Instagram. He's posted, and apparently people are going full bore with A-Chain's going to go, but he's limited by an ankle injury. Tua's going to have to do it through his arm, through his passing game. And look, when you have Tyreek Hill, the ultimate cheat code, they're going to have to go, and Jaylen Waddle out there, it is going to be, this game's going to be fun. 11 of the last 12, the Bills have beat the Miami Dolphins. And it seems like they've got their number, right? And that includes the playoffs, too. But
this is also not a weaponless Bills team, but it's significantly different than what you've seen for the last 4 or 5 years.
Well, and where's Jordan Poyer playing now? In Miami, right?
I remember he said, you know, when I was with the Bills, remember the comment he made? We looked at this team, we thought you were soft.
Yeah, but going down to Miami in September, it's not going to be a day game where they're in the blistering sun and the sun's going to affect them or anything like that, but it is warm, it'll be humid, it'll be a little bit different than what Buffalo's used to, and usually that is an advantage for Miami. But if you're Buffalo, you're looking at this game going, if we were to pick a time to play in Miami,
this is it.
It would be 8:15 p.m. in Miami early in the year. If you have to go there in September, you do not want that 1:15.
Oh, God, no.
That is going to just be
drain you.
Blistering hot. Yeah. Because the way they built that stadium, the sun comes just down.
Hammers you.
Miami's in the shade the entire time. Visiting team is just getting just absolutely scorched. Cooked. And so, look, Buffalo's got all the advantages heading into this one. I thought, you know, you had to scratch and claw for victories in both sides of this. Miami did not look polished by any measure, having to rally from behind to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Tyreek is a way that, he's a cheat code. He can cover up for a lot of warts.
But you're also looking at a Buffalo team that they struggled mightily against the Arizona Cardinals. And it was an Arizona Cardinals team that didn't throw the ball for 300 yards. Kyler Murray, they did a great job on Marvin Harrison Jr., and there's still being, you know, much said about his debut, which, let's pump the brakes on just judging a receiver by his NFL debut, because not every guy comes out and just absolutely goes ham in their first game in the NFL. I was looking this up. Somebody posted, Dane Brugler did, the Athletic, he's their draft scout guy. Justin Jefferson's debut, 2 catches, 26 yards. CeeDee Lamb, 6 for 59. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 2 for 23. It's not indicative of what you are going to be or your career is going to be based on the very first game. And Buffalo gave a ton of attention to Marvin Harrison Jr. They took him away. Kyler Murray also missed a ton of open throws. And that is probably the thing that worries me the most about this Buffalo team, is that Kyler Murray missed those chances and missed those opportunities to get the ball to his most explosive playmaker. But the pass rush gave Arizona fits. But there were opportunities to get the ball in the playmaker's hand. One thing that Mike McDaniel and Tua do a really good job of, get the ball to the damn playmaker's hands.
And let them go do things.
You have more weapons here. You have Tyreek and you have Jaylen Waddle. Do you have the balance that, you know, they would prefer to have? No, you're going to have to rely on Tua to go out and win this game for you today. If Mostert is out and A-Chain is limited, you don't have this deep stable of backs in your backfield. You have got to rely on Tua to go out and win a game. And for Buffalo, hopefully that pass rush is as effective as it was against Arizona, because Kyler Murray, he missed a lot of targets due to the pressure that was being applied by Buffalo.
Josh Allen was incredibly effective in the game against the Cardinals.
Yeah,
18-23, 232, two touchdowns. No interceptions, only took two sacks. Also ran the ball nine times for 39 yards and took massive hits going into the end zone. He got John Elway on the one where he dove in and got absolutely smashed. I don't know how he's going to do that for 16 more weeks. I mean, he's a big dude. He's strong as hell, and you can't wire him any differently. They've tried.
Mm-mm.
There was the whole incentivizing thing that they tried, and it's just not really working.
He wants to win.
Yeah. Keon Coleman did well in his debut. Four catches, 51 yards, five targets. If you take a look at the target sheet, no one had more than five targets. Keon Coleman led the team in targets. You had three to Shakir, three to Cook, two to Hollins, two to Knox, two to MVS, two to Curtis Samuel, two to Dalton Kincaid. I thought you would see Kincaid and Knox feature more prominently. Because if you look at what the Bills did, is they ran the living hell out of the ball against the Cardinals. 33 carries, 130 yards.
Run the ball.
And I think that's going to be the staple of this team, in that you have two very good tight ends in Kincaid and Knox. And if you get out there in that big personnel, in that double tight end personnel, and you're able to run the ball effectively, that can alleviate so much pressure and put Josh Allen into play action, where you can use Keon Coleman on some one-on-one coverage and let him go be effective on the backside.
And I thought Jacksonville did a really good job early of establishing the run and carving him up. I mean, you go for, it's weird to think how our brains get wired from NFL to college football, but 128 yards rushing in week one, it was effective run game because the Jags were averaging 5 yards a carry over the course of the game.
That's a good rushing total. You get a $125, you're having yourself a damn good game.
You get 4 yards a pop and you are through the moon. You get up to five and all of a sudden your offensive coordinator is feeling himself.
Because now you're able to get in front of the sticks over and over again.
And Buffalo's going to give fits to Miami. That's why I like Buffalo in this game, straight up. I mean, they're 2.5-point dogs, but I like them straight up because if you can run the ball, you can keep Tyreek and Waddle at bay, you're going to give yourselves more than a chance to win down in Miami. This is going to be a fun game. I love this Thursday night matchup early in the year, though. These are the fun ones. Like, if this were to happen later in the year where teams are coming off a short week or they're banged up and they don't want to be there, those are the ones that suck. Having this early in the season, a marquee matchup, division that is going to be decided in late December, and we get the two top dogs going to head-to-head week two, sign me up. This is going to be good Thursday night football tonight.
Yeah, and looking up and down for the Bills, other than Matt Milano, they're not going to be missing too many impact players, and Milano's basically out for the year. So,
well, he is out for the year, and that happened in training camp. Yeah. So,
nothing coming out of week one that is going to be detrimental to them. It is going to be interesting to see how Miami is able to look. McDaniels is as smart as they come, but not having your running backs, like plural, that does make things interesting.
It changes.
Prop bet, Tyreek Hill lining up in the backfield as a running back. Like, that feels like almost a certainty, doesn't it?
Yes. You're going to get like plus 900.
Right? Like what the Niners did with Debo this last weekend. It was like, you're going to probably see him get three or four carries.
Yeah, in their run game was ineffective, though, because those guys were limited during that game and they didn't run the ball well against Jacksonville. Thank God you had an 80-yard tutty by Tyreek Hill and the threat of always being beat vertically. That's why, you know, I think Tua's going to have himself a day. There were spots where Kyler could have hit open receivers time and time again for Arizona.
Just to Marvin Harrison.
Tua's going to do it too. And it's going to be a close game. I mean, it's going... I think this is going to be a phenomenal football game. I hope it's not blowout.
It's fun that we get a couple of really good matchups right out of the season.
Yep.
Or right out of the gate.
It's perfect. It's what we need. It's what we crave. It's what plants crave.
It's what football fans crave.
That's right.
Mm. Coming up next, we'll get some final news and notes ahead of NFL Week 2 here on Danny Dusty, 10 of the Fan. Russell Wilson's getting closer, but not quite ready for the Pittsburgh Steelers as it sits right now. If I was a betting man, I would imagine Justin Fields is going to be your starter out there for week number two, which is an interesting spot to be because Arthur Smith was asked about his game plan last week against the Falcons, and he said it was his choice to not have Justin Fields throw to the middle of the field. He didn't want to have Jesse Bates wreck the game plan. He says he has a ton of respect for Bates. His actual quote was, "Our Jason Bourne, TJ Watt, wrecked the game, theirs didn't." Look, I like a healthy respect for your guys, because obviously Falcons, Arthur Smith, he's very familiar with Jesse Bates. But to tell your to not trust your quarterback enough to be able to throw the ball over the middle at all, my God, does that speak bounds about how bad he is?
Yeah, I think this
are
is doing
it with Justin Fields.
I think Good this is doing Lord. A very poor job of trying to protect your quarterback. We know Justin Fields. We know that Justin Fields does not feel comfortable throwing the ball in a pocket towards the middle of the field.
You know, the thing that is the most valuable thing maybe to do in the NFL now?
They got out of that game, and a lot of it, too, is if you don't have the weapons to get loose across the middle and you don't have a quarterback that doesn't feel comfortable, yeah, then don't do it.
But, I mean, you have...
You picked them apart on the edges, and Atlanta's got big concerns because they lost a field goal fest.
Yeah.
And Kirk Cousins is their bigger
issue. I think we know why. Their quarterback is playing with one leg.
But the fact that you're going to sit there and say, yeah, that was by design. No, it wasn't. That's like the Jets offensive coordinator coming out and saying, like, yeah, we only wanted Aaron to throw to the left side of the field.
Yeah.
No. It's where your quarterback felt comfortable. If you see it again in another week, you're going to be really concerned if you're a Jets fan, because then you're going, all right, now Aaron Rodgers literally cannot push off his foot and throw to that side of the field. But for Justin Fields, we know he's limited.
Yeah.
He is wildly limited as a quarterback. He doesn't trust his vision to the middle of the field. And using Jesse Bates as the crutch for that, good on you.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Yeah.
But we know that's not the real reason why. Justin Fields is not a very good quarterback. Nobody is shocked by this.
The Justin Fields experience, Steelers fans, is not a good one.
You mean 1-0 Justin Fields?
Yeah, and that's what some Steelers fans are like, oh, we got the win, though. It's like, okay.
Got the win.
Okay.
Got the win.
Okay.
1-0.
I love Steelers fans. I love how much you guys love your teams.
Sounds like an 0-1 fan right now. That's what it sounds like to me.
I want the Raiders to go 0-17.
Sounds like a guy who went 0-1 in week one.
0-17, baby.
What, you got Cooper Flagg out there waiting for you?
Yeah.
Give me the top of the draft. Give me the top of the draft the next 3 years and get an infusion of talent.
There's no way the Raiders would screw that up.
No way. It's not like we've done that before.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Jamarcus Russell would like a word.
Perfect timing. Cam Ward just popped up on the TV.
You don't want to take Cam Ward number one. You want to let other teams take a quarterback.
I've talked myself into Cam Ward and Quinn Ewers, I think. I know. It's sad. I know. I'm aware.
You don't need the number one pick. You can't have the number one pick. It would do. You need the perfect situation is other teams to take quarterbacks off the board. So you're like, we had to.
So now, selfishly, for show purposes, I would love the Raiders to get the number one pick.
The great news about this studio is I don't think I could put a hole in this wall very easily.
True.
It's reinforced.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
it's
metal.
Yeah, and it's not drywall, which is what happened when they took Darius Hayward Bay and Jamarcus Russell.
He was fast, though.
Ran that straight line really well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm-mm. I just, look, I want, as weird as it is, I have this like weird like for the Steelers just because of the history and how they have been so committed to who they are and their coaching tree being basically like one branch. It truly is incredible how successful they have been. But it's like, for the love of God, will you move on and stop trying to talk yourself into everybody else's trash?
Well, that's what every fan base does when you don't have a quarterback.
And it's
though.
Like,
you know,
I just
isn't that kind of how Neil Olshey ran an organization?
Yes. And what did I say about that?
Damn!
Stop doing this.
Wait, are the Steelers? Are the Steelers the Blazers?
They kind of are.
Of the NFL,
just
where you're
hanging around just good enough.
You're good enough to make the playoffs. You're good enough to have a respectable record.
For a really long time.
But everybody looks at your team and goes, you're not good enough to win.
The Mariners in 54%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the thing is, I think the Steelers are happy with what they are organizationally. I don't.
Yeah, you never have a losing season.
Yeah, I think they would rather just win 9 to 10 games every single year than have a down period.
Absolutely. Absolutely they would.
Which, just to me, is just gross. I would rather crawl through the mile of crap just for a chance at freedom.
How's that been going for you the last 20 years?
Gosh,
they haven't had a chance at freedom, though. That's the thing.
Isn't that what drafting players is?
Yeah. Well, how many top three picks have they had?
I don't know.
Just, I think it's just the one. It's just DeMarcus.
All right. That sucks.
So they're like,
well,
a
wait,
suck.
No, Gallery was three. So they've had two. And boy, do they bomb both those.
All right. Looking here, I mean, you had the seventh overall pick, which you guys wisely invested in Tyree Wilson.
Oh, God. And he's not
that was a good one. You had the number four pick, which you guys wisely invested in Clelin Ferrell.
God, that front office is bad.
You had three first-round picks that year. Josh Jacobs, Jonathan Abram, and Clelin Ferrell.
One for three is not bad.
No.
Where's Josh Jacobs?
No, you used the number four pick on Amari Cooper.
It was a good pick.
You used the fifth pick
Where's Amari Cooper?
You used the fifth pick on Khalil Mack.
It was a really good pick.
Where's Khalil Mack?
Yeah.
Used the eighth pick on Rolando McClain.
That one was bad.
Used the seventh pick on Darius Heyward-Bey.
Really bad.
Fourth pick on Darren McFadden.
That wasn't bad.
First pick on Jamarcus Russell.
Really bad.
Yeah.
Third was on the Gallery, right?
Second pick on Robert Gallery. Yeah.
Turned into a really good guard.
Dang. Yeah, that sucks, man. I'm sorry.
God.
All right. And that's making Danny sad. All right, everybody. We'll see you on Friday. It'll be a football Friday on Danny and Dusty. Have a great Thursday. Up next, 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's prime time with Isaac Souk.
Bye.
A healthy, active male. I mean, y'all thought I was bull jiving. I'll get it in.